Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective and authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the maize and blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown, joined as always by Chris Breiler.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back on a Friday night.
Whoa. No go blue?
Oh,
no, just one.
Everything go blue.
I guess I'm just so excited to talk about this Harbaugh stuff.
Let's not go too far off the rails here too quickly. We have to maintain some structure.
All right. Welcome on a Friday night. Chris Breiler just looking sexy in a purple Henley.
It's salmon.
Oh, it looks very purple on here.
I don't have good lighting down here.
I've got the pink Adidas. It fades into some other colors.
Look at us. We're kind of looking like a little Miami.
Yeah.
Little Miami.
Just masculine animals out here, dude.
Just
Again, dropped a tweet just now. I want to get that out of the way and talk about it just real quick. This Jim Harbaugh stuff, it rages on day 100. I mean, whatever day we're on, it doesn't really matter at this point, depending on where you start. I'm going to throw John Bacon's tweet up here in a minute. I think he said it's day, did he say 20?
I think he called it day 20.
Well, he called it day 20. It's been 50 some days since Michigan beat Ohio State. A lot of days since they were in the playoff. I mean, like, again, we've talked about this 100 times. There's been plenty of time to get a scheduled or to get an extension done if that's indeed what Harbaugh wanted and that was all he wanted. I just talked to somebody on the phone that is very close to the Raiders situation, and they said that this Josh McDaniels thing has real legs, that he's, you know, there's some confidence that McDaniels is interested. There's some confidence that the players would buy into a guy like McDaniels. There's some confidence that the rest of the people around the organization would be okay with that hire, and that McDaniels could put together a pretty good staff under him as a head coach. So that's why I said I'm going to shift back a little bit. And McDaniels was a name that I hadn't been hearing much about throughout the course of the week. His name started to come up maybe yesterday or the day before. And based on what apparently went down today, literally just a little bit ago when I got off the phone, it sounds like he is in real position to be considered strongly for the job. And I've said this before, and people don't have to believe me, and you don't have to believe where my source is getting their information from. And at the end of the day, we're not inside Jim Harbaugh's head, so we don't even know if this is the truth. But the highest of highest ups at the Raiders organization feel like they can get Jim Harbaugh if they want him. They feel like if we want Harbaugh, we can go get him. And now that Josh McDaniels is in the fold and there's some trade ideas that have been talked about, they think, all right, look, we want Harbaugh. We like him. He's good. We're pretty happy with what he could do here. We think a lot of people would be excited about it. But let's go ahead and vet all these other options and figure it out, because at the end of the day, if we want to come back to Harbaugh, who we'd be completely happy with, we can make him an offer and he's coming. Now, believe that if you want to or not. The problem with that is, even if it's Mark Davis himself who thinks that they can land Jim Harbaugh at any time, maybe they can't. We don't know exactly if Jim Harbaugh would take an offer from the Raiders until it's in front of him with his pen in his hand. And so that's where all this, I'm going to throw up Bacon's tweet right now, Chris, and I'm going to let you give your opinion on what it says. And it's what we've been saying for a week and a half at this point. I quote tweeted it and I said, maybe people will believe it if John Bacon says it. I don't know. I've been saying it and I got called a honky. I guess, does that mean John Bacon's a honky?
Cracker.
Right. Johnny Bakes. Nobody knows anything. Here's why. If Harbaugh was certain he was coming back to Michigan, he would have signed. If he was certain he was going to the NFL, he would have told Michigan. He already knows what Michigan is offering. It's a good deal top to bottom, but he's waiting to hear what the NFL and particularly the Raiders might offer. Once he knows that, he decides. If he had already made up his mind, you would know it. He doesn't waffle. He doesn't wring his hands. He doesn't play games. So nobody knows, because even Harbaugh doesn't know. That's my take. And I believe that 100%. It's the same thing that we've been saying for about a week.
And maybe even, I mean, can we say that John U. Bacon isn't necessarily known for being a Harbaugh hater or a Michigan hater or wanting to see, you know, the Michigan football program in disarray or the type of guy who's interested in, you know, just making shit up to try to generate clicks or generate, you know, some action on his page. It's exactly what we've been saying for the last week. And you and I have obviously had quite a few conversations about this offline, is that you look at what insiders are saying as of what today, yesterday, and the stories are the same. Like nobody, we don't really pay for subscriptions anywhere, right? We're not really those types of guys, but we know just as much as the quote unquote insiders know, which is nothing. Nobody knows. The only thing that people know for sure at this point is that he's looking and that the Raiders are probably the most likely option. Like that's it. And the fact that some people are still struggling to get there mentally, it just blows my mind to the point where they're angered by the very suggestion that Jim would actually take a look. Like in reality, everybody knows this is happening, but there are some people that are really struggling to get there.
I wanted to think of a way to put this into words earlier. There's a differentiation that people need to understand here, whether you like what people say about Harbaugh or you're a complete Harbaugh apologist or you like you would support him to the ends of the earth, or if you're kind of indifferent or if you want him gone, whatever camp you fall in, there's one thing that everybody needs to understand. There's a lot of people getting information. So John Bacon is being a little tongue in cheek when he says nobody knows anything. People know a lot. I know a lot of what's going on, what I'm being told, a lot of different sources telling me different things. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of developments. There's a lot of things happening on a day-to-day basis with these different interviews and the different possibilities. What we don't know is what Harbaugh is going to do. And there's a big difference between those two things. You can be extremely plugged in, get tons of insider information from people connected to Michigan, people connected to the Raiders, people who know Mark Davis, people who know Harbaugh, and get all of that information and put it in a big pile and still not know what Jim Harbaugh is going to do. And that's the point, I think, here. I've never pounded the table and said, take it to the bank, Harbaugh's going to the Raiders. But when I'm gathering information here and gathering information there and putting it all together and looking at what's going on, up until whatever day it would have been, Wednesday, I was like, Harbaugh's going back to Michigan. He's going to look, this is going to happen, but I ultimately feel like the most likely scenario is back at Michigan. Then for a couple days, I changed my mind. I started hearing about what, you know, Harbaugh's the top target. He's the guy they want. They feel like they can get him. He's obviously waiting for something. Mayock's gone. A guy with connections to Harbaugh is going to interview for the GM job. Fangio sitting out there. Pep Hamilton sitting. I mean, like all these things started to happen. I'm like, damn, dude, it kind of feels like things are leaning towards the Raiders. And then today I hear this stuff about Josh McDaniels and how all that's playing out. And now I'm thinking, well, now maybe McDaniels is the most likely guy. So that's really all this is. We're all getting information from different people that we trust. We're doing the best that we can with it. But at the end of the day, because Jim Harbaugh doesn't know yet, how can we know? There's John Bacon said that clear as day.
Well, Jim Harbaugh
doesn't know. So how can we know what he's going to do? Not what's happening and going on, but what he's ultimately going to do.
But the reason why somebody like John U. Bacon has to put out a tweet like that, or the reason why you have to say what you just said, is because people are so damn frustrated. And what I find to be most ironic about the whole thing is that, like, this is all a choice. Like the people out there that I noticed are the most frustrated about, like, the nonstop Harbaugh news and the different reports that are coming out are the people who are consuming every single piece of it. Like that is a choice. You don't have to spend your entire day online searching for Jim Harbaugh news. Like that is all a choice. And so my recommendation would be, if you feel inundated with Harbaugh news and you're getting stressed out, like consolidate down and just listen to Brandon and I, because to be quite honest, you know as much at this point as anybody else who's paying for any sort of insider information, because we've been saying it for a week. And we base that on a little bit of information and a whole lot of common sense. And it's really not that hard to figure out. It doesn't mean that, and who said it? John Patrick early, or there he is in the Facebook or in the comments section. He said, so why are we worried about this situation either way? To me, that's the answer. I'm not. I have no emotion about the situation whatsoever. Like if he goes or he leaves, it's just you read the tea leaves and you kind of give your opinion on what you think is going to happen. And it's really that simple. There is no emotional element to me. I don't care whether he goes or he stays. As a fan, I prefer that he stays so they maintain some continuity. But if he leaves, I'm also excited about the possibilities that come along with that too. So I don't feel this stress that seems to be, you know, crippling most of the fan base right now. I just don't feel it.
Yeah. Somebody came at me on Twitter earlier today and they said something that kind of made me, it kind of hit me. And I was like, well, there it is. There's why when I'll say what he said. He said, I'm just sick of hearing your negative opinions about Harbaugh leaving. That's what he said to me. And I'm like, dude, me saying that Harbaugh might leave is there's no connotation to that whatsoever. There's nothing negative there. There's nothing positive there. It's just a thought. It's just a very realistic possibility. It's not negative, but that's what fans do. And that's okay. That's what makes you fans. That's what makes you hardcore. That's what makes you dress head to toe in maize and blue, get up at 5 a.m, go drink 30 beers, and then go to the game and have a good time. That's what makes you a fan. The fact that Michigan fans can't comprehend a person leaving Michigan on their own, especially a guy like Jim Harbaugh, means that that's why, dude, I just simply tweeted that Harbaugh might leave and go to the Raiders, and people were so angry that they called me names and just destroyed me on Twitter. It's such a weird thing. Like, why are you angry about that? Why are you angry that it's possible that he might go? It's just an insane approach to something that's obviously very real. And I'm just saying what I think is possible. It's very, very strange.
And very Jason, strange. Jason Hulka from the Facebook page, I hope that's how you say your last name. I think that is a big, big part of what you're seeing within the Michigan fan base right now. There seems to be this deep belief that if Jim Harbaugh were to leave, then all of the success that's been, you know, building and created or that led to 2021 is going to go away. And then the program's immediately going to fall back into the dark ages of Brady Hoke and Rich Rod. And I don't believe that to be true. I think that when you get your program to a point where this program is now, where they've shown they can compete, it's a premier job. And if Michigan wants to go out and get a premier coach, I think they can absolutely do that. And so, you know, again, I would just take a step back, take a breath. And if Jim Harbaugh decides to leave, the Michigan program is going to be fine. But getting angry by the fact that people are suggesting it based on what they're hearing out there just doesn't make any sense. Weird, we're hearing things and we're trying to relay it. And that's it. And if you don't want to hear it, like the easiest solution is just not to listen.
Tune it out, bro. Unfollow me.
Turn it off.
Go outside and do something cool, dude. You're not going to hurt my feelings. That's another thing. Like, dude, I have so many people come at me on Twitter, and then I'm like, what the hell are you following me? What's
Loretto,
wrong?
Loretto Martin, turn it off. Get the hell out of here.
I mean, you can go do something else. That was another thing that somebody said on Twitter. They were like, I'm just sick. We have to hear it all the day on the radio, and we have to hear it on the pay sites, and we have – no, you don't. Go away.
That's like me saying, like, you know, Brandon, I'm just so sick and tired. I got to look at porn all day. All day I have to look at porn.
It's all there is that I have to.
Every time I pick up my phone, I have to look at porn. Or I'm just...
A sex addiction or something?
Maybe.
It's pretty funny how often that button is applicable on this pod. You realize that? You ever thought about that?
I would say it's one of the...
I wonder if there might be
heavier use drops.
There might be stats on there to tell us which ones I use the most. I wanted to throw this question up, Chris, because you and I just talked about this earlier today on the phone, something that you said last week. Adam Molnar asked me, I'm going to let you answer because it was you who said it last week. What do we think the timeline is for an answer one way or the other? What did you say last week when we kind of really started going at this? Like,
I think it was on the show last Friday. I think I ended it with, you asked me the same question at the end of the show. And I was like, there is no, I was looking at the temperature of the fan base, seeing the discussion that was happening. And I said, there is no possible way this can go on for another week. Now that the Raiders season is over, we know some things. There's going to have to be some resolution. And damn it, Brandon, here we are at Friday at nearly 7:30 with no resolution. And again, my gut feeling tells me there is no possible way this can go on for another week. But I've said that now for 2 weeks in a row. And so at some point, Adam, you would think somebody's going to have to like force the issue here and say, you know, make a decision or we got to move on. Because again, there was this report or rumor that came out that recruits and players and their parents and families were being told that, you know, Jim Harbaugh was coming back. Well, if that were the case, you wouldn't have recruits reaching out to recruiting insiders, asking them if they know anything about what's going on with Jim Harbaugh.
And I'll, like, I'll, I'll, I'll throw a shout out to the Blue by 90 guys. You know, that's Justin Rowe and some of those guys that I've had a good relationship with, and I've been on their pod and we've talked, and you know, me, Justin, and Michael used to do some things together. They did an interview with Jake Moody and they straight up asked him on the record out in front of everybody, has Jim Harbaugh told you he's coming back? And Moody said, no, I don't know anything. I don't know what he's going to do. I have no idea. That's the same information I was getting from players off the record before, and they didn't want their names attached to it. I don't blame them. You know, they're not, this is not the kind of thing like that they want to be attached to, that they want to talk about out in the open. But I feel like now we're coming down the stretch of late January and everybody's talking about it. Recruits are asking about it. Even like you said, some of the most devout Michigan insiders are now saying all the stuff that we've been saying for a week, that him leaving is a very real possibility. And so at this point, the Michigan players are probably like, dude, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say, because he hasn't told us anything. That's exactly what I was told verbatim. Jim, coach has not told me anything, and a bunch of the guys that I hang out with have not heard anything from him either. So this narrative about him telling everybody he's coming back was, I don't know, fabricated, false, wishful thinking, hopefulness. I don't know what it was, but that's never been the case from my understanding. He never did that with anybody.
John Patrick from the Facebook page asked, you know, about, is Ward Manuel on top of this thing? And I certainly think it is. We talked about this a little bit earlier. And again, nobody owes us anything. Like nobody owes an answer, you know, for what's going on. But clearly it's having an impact within the fan base. It's having an impact on some of the recruits who feel like they're in the dark and they don't really know what's going on. And so to me, there is no harm in a guy like Ward Manuel coming out and saying flat out, like, yes, we've offered Jim Harbaugh, you know, a new extension, a new contract. We welcome him back. We are waiting on him. Because then at the very least, everybody has a good sense of what's going on. And I think some of the speculation can die down. The biggest problem right now is that everybody knows something is happening, but they don't know what that is. And so at the end of the day, you're just left to speculate. A guy like Ward Manuel could come out if they wanted Jim Harbaugh back and say, we want the guy back. We've offered the contract extension. The ball's in his court. And a lot of this goes away, but nobody's doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's just what it is. It's just where we're at, man. I see a link here about McDaniels. What's it say? Staying in, I didn't mean to click on that in order to put it up on the screen. I was trying to copy and paste it and see if that's what it was. Mia or Maya, however you say that. When is that from? Oh, it says it's from today. McDaniel staying in New England. I mean, if that ends up coming out as like official word, then that changes things because of what I was just told, and that McDaniels has a very real chance of getting this job and he's interested, and things look like they're on a pretty smooth playing field there with everybody in the Raiders organization. So yeah, I saw that too, Jeremy. John Harbaugh just fired Wink Martindale, who is like, you know, I mean, like Mike McDonald would probably say that's his mentor. He's been under him for the last handful of years. A lot of what Wink did at the Ravens is what Mike McDonald did with Michigan, and he's been there for a long time. That's an interesting development in just kind of the grand scheme of everything. I'm not sure it affects much about what Harbaugh might do,
but what it does show you, what it does show you is how quickly things change, how quickly things evolve, and how difficult it is for somebody to try to cover it when there are so many moving parts. And so, again, I go back to the fact that, like, just tune in when you want a general update and a general sense of what's going on. But the people who do this for a living have to continue to do it. It's, you know, you can't take the week, just like Jim Harbaugh can't take the week off if he's waiting for, you know, an offer from the Raiders. We can't take a week off while we're waiting for news. We just can't do it.
Maya or Mia, I apologize if I'm saying your name wrong there. I'm not quite following exactly what you're saying. I'm interested in the link you posted because I see it's from today and it had Josh McDaniel's name in it. The URL that you posted says Josh McDaniel staying New England Patriots. So that's what I assumed that was about. And now you're saying going to the Eagles. So I'm sorry. I'm just trying to follow along as we're going here with this information, as all the comments are coming in and we're talking about some of these things that have been brought to my attention today. So anyway, it's just a constantly evolving thing. And it's very clear at this point now that Jim Harbaugh is weighing out all of his options. And if he gets a badass deal to go to the NFL and it's something he wants to do, he's going to do it. And that's it. That's it. And if not, he's going to be back at Michigan and that's it. And I was on the Woodward show today with Braylon Edwards and Ryan Armani, and they were asking a bunch of these same tough, hard questions. And it's like, you know, everybody understands now that this is a very real possibility in both directions. But I said, man, like, there's a million reasons why Jim Harbaugh would want to come back to Michigan, and there's just as many why he would go to the Raiders. It's not like, you know, Michigan fans have a really hard time contemplating someone just leaving Michigan. But, it's the job, man. It's the profession. These coaches get a new opportunity. They get a new challenge. They get a new contract. They get new incentives. They get new money. I mean, it's all part of it, dude. Like you said, the Wink Martindale thing, I guarantee 1,000%, if you had asked anybody who's ever done anything in the NFL, make a list of the defensive coordinators that are going to be fired this offseason, Wink Martindale would have been at or near the bottom. And now he's gone. And now he's looking for a job. So there you go. Okay, so per the article from Mia that she posted up there, I'll throw it on the screen. Josh McDaniels won't be leaving New England. According to ESPN, the Philadelphia Eagles will not hire Patriots OC as their next head coach. Instead, the Eagles are hiring Colts assistant Nick Sirianni. Is that new? Nick Sirianni's a head coach somewhere. That's old, dude. Nick Sirianni's the head coach of the Eagles.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't like doing this, because we can't read and verify. I don't even know where the hell these articles are. I mean, you can shoot us a link and we can look it up, but
I'm not trying to discredit what that was from. I know it's, oh, I'm an idiot. It's not 2021. It's 2022. That date was 1/21/21, and that threw me off because there were so many similar numbers right there. Today is 1/21/22. So that article is a year old. Nick Sirianni is already the head coach of the Eagles. This whole stuff with Josh McDaniels is brand new, and it's going on right now. So sorry, Mia, that was garbage. Keep it moving. We'll keep it moving. Chris, I wanted to ask it to you this way, and we'll wrap up the Harbaugh discussion. Then we'll get into the schedule stuff that we've been talking about.
The juicy, juicy stuff.
Yeah, should be good, man. Should be fun. Should be cool to do. We'll talk about some of the spreads that we think we will see on Michigan's schedule next year. And probably, regardless of who the head coach is, Michigan's going to have a pretty favorable schedule and approach to the 2022 slate. I was told this today, and it just really got me thinking, and I want to hear your thoughts on it, Chris. Is Jim Harbaugh more likely to win a Super Bowl with the Raiders or a national championship with Michigan? That's a burning question for that ass right there, is it not?
I would say a Super Bowl with the Raiders is still probably more likely. And the reason that I say that is, even though I think Michigan has proven they can beat a program like Ohio State, they can win a Big Ten championship, they can get to the college football playoff, I still think that there is a pretty big discrepancy between the big dogs at the top and the programs that are just on the outside looking in. I don't know that you can say that so much about the NFL. I think that, you know, if you've got a solid roster put together and a strong franchise and some support behind you and a quarterback, you know, look at what happened in Tampa Bay. Now, Carr is not Tom Brady. I get that. Point being that, you know, you can do a lot, I think, in the NFL if you've got the right people in place. And I think it's a lot harder to do that in college football with recruiting and NIL and all the other things you have up against you. You don't necessarily have to deal with that in the NFL. So for that reason, you know, he's been there before. He's got the experience. I would say that 100% it's more likely to happen in the NFL.
Listen, Colin, you bring up a great point, man. The Chiefs and the Chargers are not going anywhere. You got Mahomes there. You've got Herbert there. Both of those programs are going to be really good for a really long time. But when you see how it played out against Georgia, Chris and I both went into that game thinking Michigan had a real chance to win. Dude, that wasn't even close. That was a bloodbath. That was a blowout. And if you really are concerned about some of the things that have been brought up in this Jim Harbaugh saga, the NIL stuff, the transfer portal stuff, the way that he's been able to assemble his roster as good as it was this year, and that's still what it looked like, I mean, how much closer are you going to get if Jim Harbaugh stays for another 6 years even? Like, I don't know, man. It just seems like there's a big gap there. Now, I'm not saying it's like easy to go to the NFL and win a Super Bowl. It's certainly not. It's really freaking hard. But like Chris said, there's some things that you're handcuffed by in college that you just simply aren't handcuffed by in the pros. Now, you can make some bad decisions and you can do some things poorly and be in the doghouse for a long time. I'm a Lions fan, for God's sakes. We all know that. But, you know, the Raiders are coming off a playoff season. They have an established quarterback. I don't know what you think about Derek Carr. He was like fifth in the league in passing yards this year. I don't think anybody really realizes that. He was behind Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, I think Pat Mahomes, and Herbert. And then Derek Carr. I'm not a huge Derek Carr fan, but like he's pretty freaking good. He doesn't get the love that he probably deserves in a lot of times. So anyways, my point is you get to the NFL, you make one or two of the right moves, you can be competing in a hurry. And I
Jerry from the Facebook page right there, I think that's a really good point. That the margin for error, not about the 130, but the margin for error in college football is so much smaller than the margin for error in the NFL. Yeah. Like you can afford to lose a couple of games and get your shit together over the course of a season and make a run. If you're the University of Michigan, you lose one or two games, your postseason hopes are over. And again,
it could be over early.
Right. And when Michigan's not competing in that game, the temperature gets turned up pretty hot. So, you know, these are things you have to look at and consider if you're Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. So I think that's a really interesting discussion to have, because both paths are extremely difficult. I mean, there's a reason why some of the best players ever in the NFL or in the NBA or wherever have never won a title. I mean, that's really hard to do. But based on what we just saw, Michigan is not close to winning a national championship. They're not close. And maybe they – I mean, who knows, man? Maybe the offense looks completely different next year and it's explosive and can put up points on anybody. I think the defense is going to take a step back. I don't know how you couldn't think that right now. But it just feels like – it feels like a pretty far climb to get into the discussion of being an actual contender in the national title race. Made it to the playoff. Hell of an accomplishment. I mean, an incredible season to have and get there, but they weren't close. They were not close to competing with Georgia, and I think it would have looked exactly the same against Alabama.
See, that's where I think I differ a little bit. I'm not sure. Like they gave up scores on the first like five possessions, I think it was, and I don't think Michigan had done anything like and anything close to that all year. Now, give credit to what Georgia did, because obviously they had the right game plan and it worked. But at the end of the day, I don't know that Michigan does that if they play nine more times. And so the other element to that is there were certain pieces of the offense that a lot of people thought had they been in place, the offense might have been a little more explosive. And so I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I do think Michigan is closer than some people think to winning a national championship. But just because they're closer doesn't mean they're ready to go and play against a top-notch Bama team at a national championship game and make a game out of it. Like, I don't know. They're not there yet. And in order to get there, the beauty of it is NIL is here, and Michigan's got a beautiful opportunity in front of them if they choose to use it. And that could be part of what's coming into play here. We've heard it's not.
You want to hear something? Because I talked about this on the show earlier today with Braylon and Ryan Armani. And Braylon Edwards kind of interrupted what I was saying and said, you know what, Brandon, I'm sorry, though. Michigan's never going to do it. They are never going to do that stuff that those other programs are doing. He said, I was there. I'm still around it. I know the people who are pulling strings. I know. He's like, it's never going to happen. And I was just like, well, that blows. All right, cool. Thanks, Braylon. Next question. But, I mean, if you don't – I certainly would believe him over me. And I've been pretty outspoken about how I think Michigan's fallen behind in the NIL world and that they're not doing very much and they're creating hurdles and red tape that don't need to be there. And then you hear a guy like Braylon Edwards say, they're never going to do it. They're never going to do those things that those other programs are doing. And if that's the case, and Harbaugh probably knows that too, you'd think, right?
Yeah.
There's another angle. I mean, John Bacon has gone on record multiple times this week and said that the NIL stuff is being overblown a bit, but it's not non-existent. Right. It's a thing. I don't know how much Harbaugh cares about it. He's talked about it before. We've seen it. We've heard it. But
it sure as hell can't hurt you on the recruiting trail.
No doubt. For sure. No doubt. I wanted to throw a little bit of love out here, Chris. Can we do that real quick? Just random love, because I know where we're from. Clio, Michigan in the house.
Clio, Michigan. Okay. M57,
baby.
That's kind of M57. The neck of the woods.
Didn't you technically live on M57? I mean, like that, you know, Pete Road, right? That was 57.
57. No, that was 52. No. It was like 50. The corner of, no, well, I. In that vicinity,
Pete Road.
Listen, all you need to know is it was out in the sticks.
That's right,
in the mud. Okay, getting it from the mud. Grew up first. You really want to go down the rabbit? Well, no, we're not going to go down there. But I lived in a farm with horses on the farm, mm-hmm. and used to shovel shit in the summer. So you know, talk about mud. It's about as muddy as it gets.
Mud all day. Jerry, we've done this before, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. And I mean, this will continue to be a discussion for forever because it's just a part of college football now. And as new teams do new things and Michigan either does or doesn't, it's going to continue to be a topic. But a couple of things off the top of my head. One would be to release all the restrictions or release all the rights for Michigan players to use the Block M, use University of Michigan, use U of M, use the facilities, use the campus, use the stadium in a way to promote themselves. They're allowed to do that, but they're not going to do that from what I've been told. They're so protective of that brand, and they are never going to come off of that. Programs like LSU, Ohio State, Michigan State, Bama, Auburn, all these other schools have been like, dude, use whatever you want. Wear your jersey. Wore a damn eagle. I don't care. Do it. Because it's only a pro for the players. Michigan's not done that, and they're not going to do that. The second thing would be stepping back, removing the hurdles that aren't there in the red tape, and allowing willing and wealthy donors to create a slush fund like we've seen at Texas, like we've seen at Texas A&M, like we've seen at Clemson, like we've seen at Michigan State, where you dump money into a program, you disguise it as a charity, and you let players go out and do little events here and there, and then, oh, by the way, every single person on the team gets paid. No matter if you ever see the damn field, no matter if you ever take a snap, you get paid. That's going to change the game for teams who are willing to do that. So far, Michigan has not been able to do that. And again, from what Braylon says, they're not going to do that. And I think the third thing would be, this is where it gets a little gray. And I don't know. I know that some teams are out there pulling strings and making deals for their players, even though they're not supposed to. I don't think Michigan's ever going to do that. But like the fact that, I don't even know of an example. I mean, like all the Ohio State kids getting cars early on in the year, they were standing out there like posted up and like, oh, look at this brand new car I just got. Now I'm an athlete with this car dealership and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And everybody around Ohio State was just like, freaking thumbs up, dude. That's awesome. Promote it. Go do that. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Ohio State can't come out and release a statement that says like our athletes get cars from Vic Canaver Chevrolet down there. Like, they can't do that. How about that made up name on the spot right there, by the way, Vic Canaver, is that a real thing? I don't know where that came from.
It was so well done. I didn't even flinch.
There's people at those different programs that are totally okay with that and on board with that and promoting it without promoting it. If you know what I mean, like Ohio State doesn't have to tell a kid that they get a car if they come there because all their players are out there doing it and putting it on social media. Like it's kind of like a weird loophole-y thing, but Michigan's not going to do that from what I've been told. So there's
a number of things they could do, but it really is like the easiest and most simple and I think most impactful thing you can do right from the get is let them use the Block M. There's so much power and that carries so much weight, and I can tell you firsthand, I've run into it with players during 2021 where they could have made significant money but weren't able to because they're not able to utilize those things yet.
Is Vic Canaver real? Is that implanted somewhere deep in my brain? I'm looking it up. Keep it talking.
Be. Either way, I don't give a shit. Now where was I? You threw me off with your bullshit. With the Vic Canaver bullshit. Jesus Christ.
I even said it exactly right. It's in Fenton, dude. Isn't that like right in your neck of the woods?
I don't know. It might be. Yeah.
Vic Canaver Chevrolet. There's a plug. They need to give me some money. Oh, good God. I'm laughing. All right. Were you done, Chris? I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't know where the hell I was at. I don't know where the hell I was at. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, and look, this is not a discussion on whether or not you like NIL.
Wait. Let me go back. Yes.
It's here and Michigan needs to get on board. That's
the Block M. The Block M.
Okay, yeah.
Let the kids use the Block M. Let them use the Block M. Again, ran into it firsthand in 2021. There's no reason why these kids shouldn't be able to profit by using things like the Block M or the winged helmet. They're part of the program. Like that's the easiest thing the University of Michigan can do. I get that they're protective over their brand. I get that that carries a lot of weight that Block M does, but those players are there and that's a big advantage you have at your disposal. And it's not going to cost you a damn thing to do it. So the easiest thing they can do is just let that happen.
That would be a small step. I mean, these other ones are much bigger. The slush fund thing,
a small step that would have
It would.
Yeah, it would be instant revenue for some of these kids who weren't able to capitalize on it beforehand.
Yeah, it would be big. But you know, the being able to do the slush fund thing and everybody on the roster gets this and this and that and the other, I mean, it would be huge. It would be huge. So yeah, so there's that. I mean, I just thought that was an interesting topic, whether or not, you know, Harbaugh could get to the Super Bowl, could get here. What's the reasons why here? What's the reasons why there? There's a lot. There's a lot of layers. There's a lot of different things that are unfolding and unraveling and developing every single day. Until there's some finality, that it's going to be that way. It's just going to keep being the same thing every day. New things are going to be found out. A new name pops up here. A new name pulls out over here. Until Harbaugh knows I'm not going to the NFL, he's leaving it as an option. That's the end all.
Or until Michigan decides it's just not an option anymore. You know, there's also that option, right?
That's not going to happen. That's not going to
happen. You don't think so? So you think that, I mean, you don't think there's any end in sight. Now, again, hypothetically, Jim's not going to drag it out, but
well,
at some point, Michigan would have to step. I know he's under contract currently.
I was going to say they'd have to can him. They'd have to can him and pay him a buyout, eliminate his contract, and move on. They're not going to do that. There's no way they could do. They can't do that.
I'm just saying, I'm asking, what's the like? How long do you wait for a decision? And what's the alternative? Like, at what point do you say, are you just hostage for? And I'm not saying Jim Harbaugh's holding Michigan hostage, but I'm saying, like, if this thing goes on, is that the position that Michigan is now in, where they just have to wait indefinitely?
It's not going to be a long time, because Jim, I mean, ultimately, dude, if somebody brings up the damn he would do it for free thing again, I'm going to shit in my own basement. Jim Harbaugh's never worked a job for free. All right. He was being tongue in cheek.
Maybe when he was a young lad.
Good God. If people use that as a reference point again, I'm going to lose it. It's in Jim Harbaugh's best interest, once the NFL is not on the table anymore, to go ahead and re-up and sign his new contract and get paid like double the money. So he's not going to wait. I mean, once the NFL is no longer an option, it's going to be done. And I don't know when that is. Maybe it's tomorrow morning. You know, the Raiders come out and say, McDaniel's our guy. Boom. It's over. Harbaugh signs. That's it. That's going to be the really interesting thing. The really interesting thing is going to be whether or not Jim Harbaugh gets word that the Raiders are done with him and he signs first, or if the Raiders announce a hiring and then in the immediate aftermath, Harbaugh signs his extension. It's going to be so, so clear what was going on. I don't know which way it's going to happen. I would assume you're muted.
Pay attention to the timing either way.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're right. If Harbaugh signs his contract and within the next day the Raiders announce their head coach, or if the Raiders announce their head coach and within the next day Harbaugh signs, either way, that's going to be pretty telling. And it doesn't really matter at that point. And I said this. This is another good question. God, we could just go all day on this, man. We're at 40 minutes almost already. Chris, let's say there's a scenario next year where Jim Harbaugh is back at Michigan. He's back at Michigan. First press conference of the year, media availability, we're all there. And he gets asked, Jim, did you turn down an offer from the Raiders? How does he answer that question?
Well, you know, there were, you know, discussions being had, and, you know, I love the University of Michigan, and I'm excited to get rolling for the new season.
You did it. You were close. You did it wrong.
Something. I don't, it's not going to be an answer. I can tell you that.
You were perfect, except for the very first sentence you said.
He's not going to say, I'm just happy to be here.
Let's get it going. I feel like how he answers, though, will be another one of those situations that's pretty telling. Like, he's not going to say, yeah, I turned down the Raiders, or no, they didn't want me, so that's why I came. I mean, obviously, he's not going to say that. But I feel like he's going to be asked. He's going to be asked about it. And I think it's going to be interesting to hear how he answers it. And I think it's going to be telling no matter what he says. Because if the choice ultimately was, the Raiders had nothing to do with it. I signed my contract at Michigan because this is where I want to be. If that was true, he could say that in a heartbeat. And then people would love it. People would love that answer. And if it was true, he'd have no problem saying it. There's no way he's going to say that, because that's not how it's going to go down. And I think that's, you know, I think that's kind of interesting and worth noting. And I think it's going to come up. I mean, I don't know who I would ask him. I don't know. I would have no problem asking him that question. I'm not sure exactly how you'd word it or what you would say, but, you know, Jim, you're back at Michigan for year number 8. You know, what went on during the offseason? How close were you to taking a job in the NFL? or word it some way where it's kind of vague enough to where he'd have to give you something to answer it. But we all know.
Just ask him what his deal is.
Yeah. Hey, what's your deal, bro?
What's your deal?
Exhibition or something? Anyway, all right, I'm pulling up our notes here. You ready to get into our other topic?
Let's do it. I can't talk about Jim Harbaugh anymore, damn it. I can't do it.
Let's do some football stuff. What do we want to go with here? What kind of music should we have for this?
Check.
Feel good here? Oh, Chris bailed on here. Jerry, are we on something other than Facebook? Yeah, man, this broadcast goes live on our YouTube page, Wolverine Digest, and it's also live on my Twitter page if you have Twitter, BSB_Wolverine. So we have it going live in all three places, and you can watch them on repeat after the fact in all three places as well. So, yeah, plenty of places to catch up on this if you're not a Facebook guy or a Twitter guy. Anybody can go to YouTube and watch it. You don't have to have a page or a profile for that one. So, yeah. I see you're on Facebook, though, so I don't know, whatever you want to do. But, yeah, three places to consume the genius that is Chris and Brandon on the Wolverine Digest Winged Helmet mashup blend, whatever you want to call it. All right, here we go, Chris.
I'm going to let you kick it off. We're going through the schedule here, right? Did you explain what's going on here?
Yes, we will do that now. Michigan's 2022 schedule is not very strong. Well, we're going to get into that, but we're going to go through opponent by opponent and come up with a line that we think we could see on this for betting, right? Like, so how many points if they're the favorite, if they're the dog, what we think about that opponent, whatever we want to say. I'm not going to spend a ton of time here. So we got 12 teams to talk about, so we can't, you know, even if we go 3 minutes on each team, we're talking like a 40-minute segment. I don't know if we got time for all that, but here we go. The team, Michigan, will start off against Colorado State in the opener. Colorado State went 3-9 last year, lost to San Diego State, lost to Vanderbilt, lost to San Jose State, got pounded by 40 by Nevada. Michigan's going to kick that ass. I'm putting Michigan as a 29.5 point favorite on this one.
I'm close. I'm not quite there. I've got Michigan at 24.5 point favorite in that one. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, Colorado State, not a very good program, at least right now. And I think Michigan's going to come out looking to make a statement in the opening game of the 2022 season. So,
and guys, if you want to have some fun as we're doing this, go ahead and put what, you know, my number, Chris's number, whatever. You're going to take the points. You're going to take Michigan. You're going to take the other team. You know, get involved with it if you want to. This is just a way to look at the schedule and a little different other than saying win or loss. Kind of fun to come up with spreads on our own a little bit. It's hard, man. The people in Vegas that handicap this shit are like geniuses, dude. I don't know how so often they are literally within like a couple points. It's wild, dude, how they come up with that. All right. Second game of the season is against Hawaii. They finished 6-7. They beat Colorado State. So they're, I say they're a little bit better than Colorado State, but they're not good. They're coming to the big house. 28.5. Michigan, 28.5 point favorites against the Rainbow Warriors.
Yeah, I don't know much about the Rainbow Warriors and what they have coming back on either side of the ball, to be quite honest. But here's what I do know. Michigan's a better program, and it's going to be in the big house. And so I've got Michigan 21.5 point favorites.
21.5. Okay. So I'm a little more bullish on the scores right here. I got Michigan waxing these teams, dude, by 30
plus. What a difference a year can make. Look at you, Brandon.
Listen, well, let's see how this one goes. UConn, under first-year head coach Jim Mora Jr., who I know and I have spoken to personally. I love this dude, man. Some of the stuff he told me off the record, you guys would freaking love it, I'm telling you. I wish I could put it out there, but I have more respect for him than that. I love the dude. He's had pretty good success at a lot of the stops he's had. UConn is an atrocity, right? They went 1-11 last year. The only team they beat was Yale. UConn lost to Holy Cross last year. Purdue beat UConn 49-0. I'm going missed. This is the kind of game that I don't even know if Vegas is going to put a line on. Like, sometimes they just don't even do that because it's like insane. I would put this number at 40.5, and I would take Michigan to cover.
All right, here's where I'm at. It is the final game before they start the Big Ten season, right? They got Maryland the following week. I could see Michigan getting up early and then UConn getting a couple scores late. I've got Michigan as the favorite. It's 17.5.
Oh, my God.
17.5 over UConn.
If they only beat UConn by 17.5, you better get ready for a long season. That team is cheeks. Cheeks. Listen, I will say this, though. Taquan Roberson, backup, very athletic, dual-threat quarterback who was at Penn State, is now the quarterback at UConn. That's going to change some things for them. Dude, they're going to get destroyed by Michigan. It's going to be 56-0 at halftime, that type of shit.
It could very well be. But you also said 7-6. I'm just saying.
7-5. Come on, bro.
7-5, sorry.
All right. Big Ten schedule kicks off in week 4 against Maryland at home. Maryland finished last year 7-6. Michigan beat Maryland by 41 points in College Park last year. So you're not going to ever get like monstrous spreads in the Big Ten, usually. I'm still going to say that this one's pretty ugly. I'm going to go Michigan minus 21.5 against the Terps at home. 21.5.
Yeah, I'm not quite there either. I got Michigan at 17.5. So close.
Okay.
Confident. I'm done. There's something about Maryland that always makes me think they're going to be better than what they are, and they're always horse shit. So yeah. 17.5, I think I'm pretty confident.
All right. Week 5. I'm not sure there's a bye in here somewhere.
This
is still week 5. It's the first big test of the season. It's one of the only big tests on the entire schedule. At Iowa, probably going to be at night, at Kinnick. Wild. Listen to this one. You ready?
Oh, boy. Don't do it.
Michigan, minus 13.5.
Wow. Wow.
Dude, they pounded the shit out of Iowa in the Big Ten.
You know what? They did. And they did it in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil. That is not Kinnick. There is something that happens at Kinnick, especially when the lights come on. I've got Michigan winning the game, but I've got it at 3.5.
Wow.
3.5 points. I'm telling you, Kinnick at night, it's a buzzsaw. It's where dreams go to die. We've seen it happen to the Wolverines before, and they had one hell of a team. I don't like it, man. I don't like anything about Iowa.
I'm going to put a date on this so we're going to come back to this, because at some point these lines are going to actually come out, and it's going to be interesting to see how bad we were or how good we were on some of these. All right. After they go to Kinnick, they go to Bloomington. They're going to take on the Hoosiers in Indiana. Dude, Indiana, one of the worst seasons of any team I can imagine, I can remember in a long time, especially as good as people thought they might be. Dude, to go 2-10 and Michigan beat them by 22 points last year, I know they had a bunch of injuries, and we'll see what it looks like this year, but I think this one's going to be another big one. I got Michigan minus 17.5, and I think Michigan would cover that.
Yeah, I'm not quite there. I know that Indiana's not very good, but there's something about Indiana. They get up to play Michigan. This one is going to be in Bloomington. I've got it set at 12.5. I still think Michigan wins convincingly, but I think Indiana's going to give them a bit of a fight.
Yeah, I don't know. This year, this season, dude, they just showed me something. The way they beat some of these teams that they beat, you go into Wisconsin, you win like that, you beat Iowa like you did in the Big Ten title game. You pound on Ohio State. I kept coming up with these different numbers, and I'm like, that's not enough. That's not enough.
But you also do it with the leadership of guys like Aiden Hutchinson.
I get it.
Built differently. Like, they're going to have to replace a lot, especially on the defensive side of the ball. What is it? 7 different starters
at least
on the defensive side. So
at least that. You know,
there's a lot they've got to figure out.
At least that many guys. Yeah. All right. Next game. Oh, back at home for what about week 7? Back at home for week 7 against Penn State. The Nittany Lions finished 7-6 last year. Obviously, Michigan got by them in a barn burner in Happy Valley this past year. We were there. That was an awesome game to be at. Just a lot of fun to be there in that environment. I got Michigan minus 6.5 in the Big House. 6.5.
Close. I got them minus 5.5.
Okay.
5.5. So, yeah, I mean, it's Michigan, Penn State, regardless of what the rosters look like when those two teams get together, at least as of late, it's usually a pretty good game. Who knows?
It's going to be a tough one.
That's the thing. I don't know who the coach is going to be. I don't know what the defense is going to look like. It's very difficult at this point.
It's hard to do a lot of this stuff. We were talking about that today. We're like, God, I want to write an article, but I don't give a shit about the quarterback battle right now because we don't even know what's going on in the front in the big chair, man. We got to get
Thanks
that
a lot,
figured
Jim.
Out. All right, then a bye after Penn State, bye week, and then you got Michigan State right around Halloween. This one's at home in the big house. Michigan State obviously finished 11-2, beat Michigan last year. Jim Harbaugh's 0-2 against Mel Tucker. I got Michigan favored by 2.5. Two and a half points.
I'm pretty damn close. Ball game. 3.5. 3.5 points I got Michigan favored at. I mean, you cannot, if you're Jim Harbaugh and you come back, you can't go 0-3 against Mel Tucker, right?
Ooh.
Can't happen. Even on the heels of such a phenomenal season in 2021, you cannot go 0-3 to Mel Tucker. Can't happen.
I mean, we were saying all that stuff this year. You can't do this game. You can't do it. You can't do it. And then they did. Obviously, that was it. That was the only blemish all the way through. But at the time, that was
some things needed to happen after that, though.
Yeah.
I think, you know, some losses. You know, we needed other teams to help us at that point, and things just happened to fall into place.
After Michigan State, Michigan travels to Piscataway to take on Rutgers. And what you said earlier about Indiana is how I feel about Rutgers under Greg Schiano. They're going to get up. They're going to give their best efforts against a team like Michigan. That's a statement game for them if they can even, you know, remotely challenge the Wolverines. And they did it last year in Ann Arbor. That was a tough game, man. Michigan had to battle to win that game by 7. I've got Michigan. This number might be too big, honestly, but I've got Michigan. Rutgers finished 5-8, by the way, last year. I've got Michigan minus 9.5 in New Jersey. That might be one I might scale back a little bit, but that's what I put on it initially.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel pretty confident about that one. I've got Michigan minus 12.5. I think, you know, Michigan has had their number. I know Greg Schiano's a good coach, and they played the Wolverines a little bit tougher last year, but I view that as more of like a flash in the pan rather than something that's going to be consistent moving forward. I think Michigan handles their business.
I mean, I think Michigan wins, but that's – I don't know. That one's tricky to me. One's a little tricky to me, coming off of Penn State, coming off Michigan State. You go out to Rutgers. I don't know, man. Like I said, I got 9.5, and I felt like that might be a little too large after I kind of got into it. Nebraska. What is going on with Nebraska and Scott Frost, man? They finished 3-9. They played Michigan really tough in Lincoln, like really tough. I don't know, dude. I thought Scott Frost was going to be so good there, and he has been an abject failure. I've got Michigan at home against the Huskers this time, minus 7.5. That's only that's a little more than a touchdown, but Nebraska every year is described as that team to like, kind of watch out for them, man. They got a couple athletes out there, wait and see what they're going to do, and then they just blow. But as we sit here right now, 7.5.
Yeah, I got it at 8.5, and I think, Nebraska hasn't been very good under Scott Frost, but at that point late in the year, there's going to be two games left in the season. I think if Michigan is undefeated at that point, and a lot of people think the Wolverines will be undefeated at that point, Nebraska is going to get up for that game. Scott Frost is going to get up for that game. He's going to be itching at a shot to get one over Jim Harbaugh. So I've got the Wolverines minus 8.5, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's closer.
All right. And heading into the 11th game of the season against Illinois, obviously they didn't play each other last year. Illinois finished the season 5-7, and dude, they lost to UTSA early in the year. They got beat by almost 30 by Virginia. They're not very good. It's at home. Michigan's going to be gearing up for the finale, obviously, in that one. And if this season was anything like last season, they didn't lose focus. There was never any even inkling of a trap game with this squad, and I hope they can recreate that. As you said earlier, Aiden Hutchinson, Josh Ross, Dax Hill, Brad Hawkins, Astartes, some of those leaders on the line. That's the reason why they were able to get up and do that every year. Even Cade McNamara, whatever you think about him and whatever you think his role is going to be in 2022, he was part of that in 2021 of keeping everybody on board and on focus. And I think they're going to be on focus and ready for that one. I put that spread at 19.5, man. I think Illinois is just not very good. It will be year two under Bielema, so we'll see. You know, does he start turning things around a little bit? Year one was rough. But I'll say 19.5. I mean, I could see that game, Michigan winning like 35-10, pretty easy, and there's your spread.
I have zero faith in Illinois. Zero faith. I mean, it's just they haven't done anything in a very long time. I've got Michigan favored 21.5 points. I think it'll be more than that. Then. But, yeah, I mean, at that point, Michigan's humming along. They're looking to get, their 11th win of the season, right, at that point, and go into Ohio State and compete, presumably, for the Big Ten championship. So Wolverines minus 21.5.
Here's the deal, man. through 11 games, the tough games are at Iowa, Penn State home, Michigan State home. And I don't know what Michigan's going to do in those games. Maybe they lose one. Maybe they go 1-2 in that trio. They're going to be favored in every one of those games. Michigan is going to be favored in every game of the season leading up to the finale with Ohio State. They are going to be favored in their first 11 games of the year. They don't even have to go on the road until October hits.
Should be, assuming everything goes according to plan.
As we're sitting right now, yes. I mean, dude, yeah, they come out and the quarterback situation's a mess. Or, dude, is Harbaugh the coach? We don't know yet. We don't know yet. There's a lot of stuff that could change from now until then. Finally, we're to game 12. Oh, we're boy. At Ohio State. Michigan coming off the big win. Ryan Day wants to hang a hundy. Good luck. I've got Ohio State favored by 5.5.
You are such a goddamn hater. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. You know what, Brandon? I've said this before. I think I may have
been. You do not have Michigan favored.
I feel like I may have been the only person in the Michigan media market who picked the Wolverines to beat the Buckeyes in 2021. Go check the receipts. Go check the receipts. It was me. And you know what's going to happen in Columbus in 2022, Brandon?
Check your fucking receipt right here.
I've got the Buckeyes -2.5. -2.5.
Okay,
I've got the Buckeyes.
All right. You still got
so listen,
I a field goal. We're the difference of a field goal.
Point being, I have as much faith in the Michigan Wolverines as anybody else out there. But the bottom line is it's a different animal when you go into Columbus and when you haven't won there in 2 decades. And I don't know, when's the last time they won in Columbus? 2001, 2000. It's been a long time.
77. I don't know. It's been a long time, dude.
It's been a long time. So until they can do that on the road, I'm going to reserve judgment. Or I'm not going to reserve judgment. I'm going to protect my heart.
That was that was so dramatic. You just went on a rant like you had Michigan picked to win by 25, and then we were a field goal off. Come on, man. Yeah, listen, man. You're talking C.J. Stroud. You're talking tons of talent. Jackson Smith and Jigba. Talent all over the field. 5 stars, 4 stars, whatever, on the road, at the shoe. That's tough, man. That's incredibly, incredibly tough.
Put it this way. The fact that we even have the spread there I think shows how far this program has come over the last year, that even if I don't have Michigan favored, I do think that they will put up a fight and put up a game, and that they've got a legitimate shot. They didn't have a legitimate shot in 2019 and 2018. I mean, the wheels came off. So I think that they're at that level now where it's okay to expect them to play with the Buckeyes.
You know, first of all, that was an awesome segment. I like that quite a bit. We'll fade that out. But this Ohio State thing, and this is where we'll kind of wrap up. I got two more things for you, Chris, and then we'll get out of here as we're approaching 58 minutes on the night. If Jim Harbaugh comes back, and let's say it's 5 years, all right? Let's say he's here for another 5 years. And if he stays longer than that or whatever might happen every year after year after year, we'll see. But let's say he stays for another 5 years, and he's at Michigan for 5 years. I was talking to Michael Spath today, good buddy of mine. I know we've had some discussions with him. He was in the Michigan media market for 15, 16 years. I don't really care what you think about him. He's one of the smartest dudes I know. He knows how to run a business. He knows Michigan football. He's got an incredible memory for it, and he's a smart guy, and he knows how these kinds of things go. And he's been pretty critical of Harbaugh, like I have. We've seen eye to eye on a lot of things. He said he really enjoyed just being an alum and a fan this past season and just able to openly cheer for his Wolverines and get super pumped about the season that they had. And he's changed his tune on Harbaugh quite a bit, as I have and as everybody has. There's no way you can't be excited about what he did this past season and be supportive about what might happen in the future if he chooses to come back. So with all that being said, I asked Michael, what do you think if Jim Harbaugh comes back? What do you think happens against Ohio State over the next 5 years? Do you have a guess, Chris, as to what he might have said? And then I want you to answer that question as well. You're on mute before you get going here with your big breath. There you go.
So you want me to... it's all the sniffling. I'm trying not to do it into the... You know, it's all the time. All right. Oh.
You've talked to Michael a little bit before, haven't? Didn't he come on here and we talked about?
Yeah, he was. He was the same guy who gave me a hard time for my 9-3 prediction. Right, he was the same guy that told me I was wearing rose colored glasses. That's we should have him back on to talk about that. But yes,
I plan to. He's got a pretty busy life over there too. He's got a little guy like I do, and he works.
He's busy. I'm busy. You're busy. We're all busy.
But anyway, I asked him, "What does Harbaugh do in the next 5 years against Ohio State if he comes back and he's here for 5 years?"
You want me to guess what he said?
What he said, and then yours as well.
I think he probably said something to the effect of 2-3.
That's exactly what he said. He said Michigan over the next 5 years will play Ohio State at home twice. He says, "I think they can win those games." And Michigan's done it now, and there's a formula there, and he can sell that. So okay, and now what would you say? Are you in, where are you on it?
My gut feeling says 2-3, which would be, by the way, a huge improvement over where they have been. So that is not, you know, if you view that as like a hater statement, it's not. That would be a pretty big improvement for what it's been over the last 7 years. So I would say 2-3 is probably most likely.
So we went back and forth and we talked about this, and I said, "You know what?" And he said, "Yeah, I think, you know, Michigan probably wins the two at home. You know, maybe that means he plays for another Big Ten title or two, wins one, maybe it's two." You know, I mean, I think you'd say any year that Michigan beats Ohio State, they got a pretty damn good chance of winning the Big Ten. We don't know what's going to happen on the West or if there's going to be conference realignment, like all that stuff's up in the air. We're talking about a lot of hypothetical stuff right now. But if you told me that Jim Harbaugh was going to come back to Michigan for 5 years, beat Ohio State twice, play in another Big Ten title game or two and win one or two of them, I would sign up for that 10 out of 10 times. I would sign up for that 10 out of 10 times.
For
based
two,
on what we have,
2-3 over 6 years? 2-3 over the next five?
It's like you just said, dude. It's like you just said. That is a huge improvement from what we've been dealing with for the last 15 years, let alone what Jim Harbaugh's done. Take it back even farther than that.
Can I just say that right there goes to show that I don't think, by and large, fans are asking for the world or asking too much. You, known Michigan hater, Harbaugh hater, would be happy with 2-3. Would gladly sign up for 2-3 over the next 5 years and be happy with that.
You know why? You know why? Because over a year span, that's 3-3, and that's what you got to do.
Correct.
You've got to be competitive with Ohio State, beat them at least half the time. If you can get above 500, you freaking take it and run with it. And if you're just a shade below 500, you say, "Damn, you know, they're pretty freaking good too."
I think you've
got to be on that level, man. At least it's right there.
It's unrealistic to expect.
We're not going 5-0, man.
Michigan Wolverines aren't going to make the same type of run that the Buck. Like they're not, the pendulum isn't going to swing, and all of a sudden the Wolverines are going to go on a 2-decade run. That's not going to happen. That program down in Columbus is pretty damn good, and so I think if you can start to split the series or get pretty damn close to it, everybody's happy because then it's competitive, it's fun for everybody, and then you live to fight another year. But what can't happen is you can't go 1-4. Like because you get a win in the rivalry doesn't mean you get to go ahead and shit the bed for another 5 years. Like he's done it. He's proven he can do it. And now I'm excited, hopefully, to go and watch him prove he can do it again, because that's the next step in the maturation of a program, is that you do it once. Now let's see if you can do it again. How for real are you? And that's what I think. You talk about stuff to prove. Yeah, he's got stuff to prove in the NFL, but if he bolts for the NFL right now, what is his legacy as a college coach at the University of Michigan? I mean, when you take a step back and you look at it 10 years from now, it's still going to be a 1-5 record against the Buckeyes and one trip to Indy with, you know, I don't know that over the course of time, that record is going to look as good as it does right now. I think he's got a lot to prove here.
And if he comes back for 5 years and goes 2-3 against the Buckeyes, he's 3-8 against them overall. I mean, like that's not, and I'd still take it. Because again, if you include this season, this year of his weird contract before he gets re-upped, if he does come back, then you've got a 6 year chunk to look at as he, you know, on the tail end there where he went 3-3. And I would imagine if you're beating Ohio State three times, you're also in contention for the Big Ten title, and maybe you win one or two. So in a 6 year stretch, he could be 3-3 against Ohio State with at least one Big Ten title and probably a chance to play for two more. And maybe you win.
That would be an incredible run. That would be incredible.
We're clearly getting ahead of ourselves here, but if Michigan's beating Ohio State the way that things have looked forever, the East is far better than the West. I would think the East team's going to win the Big Ten championship. Now, that's not going to happen every single year. And you'd like to think that Wisconsin or Iowa or somebody over there could get it together and compete a little bit. But so far, no. If that means Jim Harbaugh goes for the final 6 years right there, 3-3 against Ohio State with 3 Big Ten titles, dude, that's, you're signing up for that all day, every day. And if somehow you get more than that, you get a win in Columbus and you can do more. It's a night and day comparison to what Michigan fans have been dealing with for better part of two decades.
It's so night and day that even 2-3 to me feels not really realistic, you know, like that, like you said, 3-3 over the next 6 years with potentially 3 Big Ten titles. That sounds great, but the idea that could potentially play out even now seems so far-fetched. Like, I want to see if this program, I had a lot of fun in 2021. It was a magical year, but I don't want it to be a magical year. I want it to be like Michigan is in the hunt now. This is just the level of football that they're playing. And it doesn't mean that they're always going to get to Indy or that they're going to beat the Buckeyes every time. But again, 2-3 over 5 years or 3-3 over 6 years, I think Brandon's right. Any Michigan fan will take that in a heartbeat.
Yep, no doubt about it. And last but not least, Chris, I mean, I don't think much has changed for you. I know I've said I've slid my slider a little bit, and I'm feeling like, man, maybe it is Michigan back in the lead here with this Josh McDaniels potential news coming with the Raiders and that there's a good development happening there. I don't think your answer is going to be any different, but I asked Michael this question too, and so I'm going to ask it to you. If you had $100,000 to bet on Michigan, on Jim Harbaugh coaching either with the Raiders or Michigan next year, where are you putting your money?
Michigan.
And that's what Michael said too. And I think that's what I would say now too, tonight. I think I'm feeling like, you know, with what I've been told, that the Raiders feel so confident that they could get Jim Harbaugh that they're going to exhaust every option they can because they literally feel like Jim Harbaugh will be right there waiting for them. I don't know if you believe that. I don't know if you want to believe that, but that's what I was told. I don't know if I even believe it, but I have no reason to not believe this information that I've been getting at this point. And that's what I can ask for right now.
It just seems like, you know, everything, the way it's playing out seems like how you would expect it to. I think it's entirely warranted that he would take a good hard look at the NFL, but I just think, given what he has at the University of Michigan, I think ultimately the pull is going to be too strong to come back. I think he has built something there. Again, he's got a support system there that he doesn't have anywhere else. He's got relationships already built with the guys. And you've already alluded to the fact that there's players out in Vegas that are going to bat for their guy. And that, you know, somebody's going to have to convince over a locker room when you bring in a new coach, you've got to make sure that that guy is selling himself to the players in the locker room because they've got a guy that they want. So it's not an easy situation to walk into. I think at the end of the day, I think they get close. I think conversations are going to happen. And I think the Raiders, you know, from the very beginning, I think, you know, you and I have been pretty consistent that that's the biggest threat, but ultimately I think he's coming back.
And Chris, I think this is where you and I differ just a little bit on why it might happen or what developments might take place. The pull that you referred to that I just don't put as much value on that as most do. And I think that's and I don't know. I mean, I might be really wrong. I mean, he might, you know, Jim Harbaugh might be so in love and entrenched and in just, you know, have a complete love affair with Michigan and Ann Arbor and his family being here and all that, which I'm sure that exists, but I don't think it exists so strongly that that's going to be like why he stays at Michigan or doesn't. I think there's a lot of other things that have a bigger impact, but we'll see, man. And that's why this thing is so hard to figure out, because I really truly don't think he knows what he wants to do yet. And he doesn't even have a decision to make because the Raiders haven't given him a contract offer. So how can he possibly know what's going to happen unless he can tell the future? Like, I don't think the Raiders are saying like, hey Jim, we're going to look at all these other guys, and then if we don't want them, we're coming for you. Like, they're not going to tell him that.
Right.
Even if that's exactly what they're going to do. So Sam Stamos, by the way, awesome last name. I love that. He doesn't know. If he knew, we're done with this 2 weeks ago. because I know you're saying he knows he's coming back. You said it up here. He'll be back, smiley face, glasses. He knows. No, he doesn't. Because if he did, it'd be done. And that's it. You can give it good vibes. That part I'm fine with. You can throw good vibes out there all day and say, I'm gonna will this into happening. I'm gonna manifest Jim Harbaugh's return. I think fans should do that all day long. But to sit there and say that he's definitely coming back and he knows he's coming back and he's just messing around, that's wrong.
I want to address what CJ said there. So no, Jim Harbaugh hasn't, at least to my knowledge, interviewed with the Raiders yet. But given this scenario, this circumstance,
let me say something real quick, Chris, before you give your opinion on this. As far as I know, he has not interviewed with the Raiders since their season has ended. But I was told that contact was made and discussions were had in the month of December. Like in the NFL, you can't do that. It's tampering. Jim Harbaugh is a college coach. He can talk to Mark Davis at any time. He can pick up the phone and call him. Mark Davis can pick up the phone and call him. That's within the rules of how things are done. So a formal interview where Jim Harbaugh flies out to Las Vegas and sits down in a room with Mark Davis, no, that has not happened. But I am fully under the impression from people who are in the know that discussions have been had between the two parties, whether it's Harbaugh directly or his legal counsel or whatever. So now make your point on that, Chris, whatever you
want. I mean, it's a simple point, and it's for a lot of the reasons why you just said. He hasn't, but I don't think that holds any bearing on whether or not, you know, he's still in the running or a serious candidate for the position. I think at this point, a guy like Jim Harbaugh is a known commodity. He's been coaching for a long time. You know what he brings to the table. You know what you have in a guy like that. And Mark Davis and Jim Harbaugh, there's an existing relationship there. And so, yeah, if he is, you know, being seriously considered for the position, you would think, would they even do an official interview? Would that be necessary?
They didn't really do that with Gruden. And, right. And Al Davis or Mark Davis took a bunch of heat from it because there was a hearing. There was like a back and forth on whether or not Mark Davis complied with the Rooney Rule. The NFL ultimately found out that he did, but most people say that he didn't. It was
now real. How much of that could be playing into this dragging it out and making sure that you're going through the process, even though if you know you got your guy, you know, hang tight, Jim. We've got to go through this. You know, who
it's
knows?
Kind of it's kind of a shitty thing with the Rooney Rule. Like it was put in place to give minority coaches a better shake and a chance, but all it's really turned into is like just giving minority coaches a token interview to comply with some rule. Like Jerod Mayo feels like that guy this year, and it sucks for him because like that dude wants to be a head coach and he's probably qualified to be a head coach, but what he's turned into is like, oh, we got to interview some minority coaches. Well, let's bring Mayo in here and interview him so that way we're good, and he actually has no chance of getting the job. So the Rooney Rule has kind of been like a weird thing. It hasn't really worked out how they want it to. I mean, I get why it's there and the intentions were good, but now people in the ownership offices are just using a body to come in and comply with the Rooney Rule, and then they move on from them, and that's it. And back to, I think it was CJ that says it, the NFL does not have to disclose interviews with college coaches. They have to disclose and get permission and ask if they can interview other teams' coordinators or assistants or head coaches or whatever. They don't have to in college. So that makes it a little bit different. So if there was a way for Jim Harbaugh to completely sneak out under the radar and nobody knew and go interview in Vegas, he could do that. And that's probably happened in the past, but it's not happening. It has not happened to my understanding this year. Jim Harbaugh has not been in the building for the Raiders since this has all started.
Right. And Jerry Heron, I don't know that they officially have a job opening, but the current interim head coach interviewed for his own job. So, I mean, that should tell you kind of where things are at.
So there's been a little bit of back and forth on whether or not that was like Bisaccia actually going in to interview for the job, or if it was more of like an exit end of the year. Like this is where we're, I mean, either way, most people close to it with the Raiders don't think he's going to be the guy. And that has been a little bit of a confusing, you know, rock and a hard place for Mark Davis, because guys like Derek Carr and Max Crosby and other leaders on that Raiders team have gone to bat for Bisaccia, and he earned their respect and he stemmed the tide and he took over a terrible situation and righted the ship and got him into the playoffs. He went 7-5 down the stretch. It's not like he went 12-0, but he won more than he lost, and they got into the playoffs, and you know, he did some good things when really most people thought the Raiders were going to just crumble and fall apart. And he did it with a depleted roster. The O-line was really banged up. They obviously lost Henry Ruggs. They lost Damon Arnette. They lost another one of their DBs. And their linebacker core wasn't completely healthy all year. So he did a lot of really good things with the Raiders. And that's why a lot of people are like, you know, just remove the interim tag and keep Bisaccia. But he's not a head coach candidate. No other teams wants him. I know he did well there. And that's where, you know, I've asked some of my, you know, some people close to the Raider thing, like, do you think the Raiders win more games with Jim Harbaugh or Bisaccia? And it's Harbaugh. That's just universally accepted. McDaniels, that may be a different discussion. I don't know. And some of these other head coaches that have been talked about too, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, Sean Payton. I know those names seem like pipe dreams, but there are some trade possibilities with those coaches that seem realistic. And you've got, you know, Sean Payton doesn't have Drew Brees anymore. You know, Pete Carroll, that Seahawks team is not the same team that was winning Super Bowls 10 years ago or whatever, 8 years ago, whatever it was. Mike Tomlin's about to lose Ben Roethlisberger. That's going to be a very different animal for those coaches moving forward. So coming to a place like the Raiders where you get a bunch more money, you've got a Derek Carr there. I see where that could be a thing, but I ultimately have been told, and I can see it too, that the Raiders would have to give up a lot in terms of draft capital, maybe a young developing player, even one of their star players, to get a coach like that. So it'd be like three steps back to take a step forward. I don't know if that's what they want to do. So I don't know, man. It's a lot. Are we idiots? I don't know. Are we idiots, Chris? I don't think I sound like an idiot when I talk about this stuff.
No, I mean, what else are you supposed to, what else are you, and I say this all the time, or I talk to my wife about it a lot. It's like, you feel like you're in between a rock and a hard place when it comes to this Harbaugh stuff. Cause I dread talking about it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to write about it.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, we still have a job to do. And I've talked to you about this before, that people can say they're tired of hearing about the Harbaugh shit all they want. Yeah. The analytics are very, very clear, that is the story that people are most interested in. So for as long as this continues to be a story,
get your wife, dude. Are we idiots? I mean, she might say.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we're idiots, but for different reasons altogether.
Yeah. She might say we are, but not because of this.
Speaking of which, we're at an hour and 16 minutes. Yeah. Ozark is out on Netflix. Do you know Ozark is out, the new season?
I don't watch it. Don't even know what it is.
Well,
see, yeah, Jason Bateman, right?
Now you're missing. Yes. Yeah, and it's phenomenal. And the next season, or the next, I guess, part or whatever, dropped at 3 a.m. in the morning, and it's ready to go. So it's going to be,
I'm a big Bateman fan, but isn't like a drama? Like, he's real serious in it, right?
He's real. Yeah. See, that's the thing. I didn't like him going into the show, but I like him after it. Okay. He's phenomenal in the series. But man, what a great show it is. My wife and I were going to be doing some Netflix, not so much chilling on the couch, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Making a little move. Okay. Probably around part two, part three.
BB, get on that. I'm assuming you mean the show Ozark. Yeah, I haven't watched it, so I don't know. I probably would like it. I don't know. I mean, I kind of have. I don't do like shows, but every once in a while, somebody will recommend one, and I'll get into it. And I'm like, yeah,
this is sweet.
I didn't watch this.
It's one of those where I would put it on like a, I don't know, like, I don't get into those that often, but Breaking Bad was pretty good. We got on that one late. Yeah,
yeah.
I would put Ozark on equal footing with that.
Really?
Phenomenal. Yeah.
I mean, Breaking Bad's my favorite show of all time. But in that vein, you know, of like series that you want to binge watch and get into and stuff.
Dip your toe in, buddy. See the comments here. Dip. It's good.
Okay. Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. I mean, like, The Sopranos was another one, dude. My wife and I didn't start watching it until like 10 years after it was off the air, and I'm like, this show is freaking incredible. Why didn't I watch this?
Yeah, that's how I felt about Breaking Bad. I didn't jump on Breaking Bad specifically because people were telling me I needed to watch Breaking Bad. I was tired of it. It was like The Wire or these other shows that were coming out. Like, you have to watch this. I'm like, I'm not watching it. And then I did. I'm like, all right, I get it. Dexter, another good one.
How many seasons of Breaking Bad were there? Five or six, I think. Six?
Something like that. Burned through it in like 2 weeks, man.
I think we watched four on binge and then live on the last one or two or whatever it was.
Okay, so right on.
Yeah, we were around that time. But anyway, Ozark. All right, everybody, we'll see. We'll give Ozark a look. I love Jason Bateman, but I like him when he's funny, like in, you know, The Change Up or The Switch or whatever the name of that movie is, and like Horrible Bosses. And
dude, he's kind of like
hilarious, man.
He's kind of a G in this movie.
All right, okay,
you'll like it.
All right, I'll give it a look. Well, there you have it, everybody. I mean, an hour and 20 minutes in, man. We did a lot. We did the schedule. We did the Harbaugh stuff. We did a little bit of everything. And now we both think he's staying, I guess. We'll see on Monday what happens, dude. But it's now 8:30 on a Friday night. I'm guessing it's going to go through the weekend, and we'll see what happens on a Monday. What do you think, Chris?
I think I'm going to be right back here next Friday saying the same shit.
All the way back to next Friday. I was just asking about the weekend and Monday.
No end in sight. I have no hope.
No end in sight. That's how we're going to end the show. Take care, everybody. See ya.